Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
In Iran,
we don't have homosexuals like in your country. We don't have that in our country.
In Iran,
we do not have this phenomenon. I don't know who's told you that we have it.
Well, the sadistic psychopath from Tehran was permitted a forum in New York that he was not permitted, that he really wasn't entitled to. This was not about freedom of speech. This was about freedom of madness. And, of course, the pimps at Columbia University know they made a big mistake. And this is what the academic establishment has come down to. They would ban Rumsfeld. They would permit speeches of the Minutemen to be interrupted. They would not permit the ROTC on the campus, but a mass murderer like Ahmadinejad, they let come to New York and they let him lie continuously. The same for the so-called National Press Club, again, consisting of idiots by and large. It was a disgrace to see the National Press Club. And look at the constellation of losers they had up there who said nothing. There was a representative and there was a whole spectrum at the National Press Club while he spoke on video. There was Eleanor Clift, who normally has a big yap for Republicans and for Bush. She shut her big feminist mouth. Suddenly she was silenced. And of all people, they choose the one conservative. They choose Scarface from Fox News, who I had no idea why they chose her. I mean, I guess she was going to jump up and ask Ahmadinejad if Natalie Holloway was hiding somewhere in Iran. I mean, if she can get an exclusive to find the corpse. I never saw anything like this. What a country. It's a disgrace to live in America that would permit this man. He should have been arrested on the stage. Big Burly Marshall should have arrested him, put a black bag over his head, tried him for crimes against humanity, had Iranians come forward whose relatives have been tortured and killed by this very man, and he should have been executed in 30 days. I was shocked that the Jews allowed into that auditorium were apparently deboned. The women who were allowed into the auditorium were apparently declawed, and the only people who had any guts were the gays. And it shows you who has the power in this country. The only thing that Ahmadinejad said that was booed was about homosexuals. It shows you how powerful the pink hand is in this country. And I take my hat off to them. How do you like that? I take my hat off to the pink hand. At least they had the guts to boo this little murderer. Now, I want to say a few things more about this little Hitler. I've got a letter here that I cannot confirm or deny, but I'm going to read it to you because I tend to believe that what I saw with my own eyes was the truth. I believe this man is a pathological, sadistic murderer. I think looking at this man's face, I saw a narcissistic, Hitler-like man who was so in love with himself and his own power that he had no idea how pathetic he looked. It looked to me as though he has not only killed dissidents in Iran, but that he's killed all the tailors in Iran. How in the world can a man who represents an entire nation come here with a jacket that you wouldn't give to a condemned inmate on death row? The shoulder pads were hanging off the guy's shoulder. You say, well, why get so trivial? Why be comedic in the political arena? Because let me tell you something, my friend. Mocking the tyrants of the world is about the only power we, the little people, have. Mocking little tyrants is about the only power we have. I have a letter in my hand from somebody who said that there's an expatriate living in Las Vegas who was in an Iranian prison 20 years ago. He was part of a coup to overthrow Ayatollah Khomeini and was arrested by the secret police. He says he was not only tortured in the most heinous ways imaginable, but swears in a Bible that the prison executioner was none other than Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. He says he will never forget this man's face or voice as long as he lives. Now, the man offered to come on the show. I'm not going to have him on the show because we can't confirm or deny it. How do you think an unknown university professor who was rather unattractive would rise from obscurity to be the president of Iran unless he was more vicious and more insane than the rest of them. How do you think he rose to such a prominent position? You think he did it through his intelligence, his sartorial qualities? He did it because he's probably a mass murderer. In torture chambers throughout Iran, they probably know him. Now, as far as Columbia, I expect nothing less from Columbia University. I think it's amazing to me that a school that rejected the ROTC in 2005 on the grounds that the don't ask, don't tell policy discriminated against homosexuals now welcomed a man whose government reportedly executes homosexuals. This is amazing. It's hard to believe that any wonderful, great American university would invite a world leader to its campus who supports a group that kills U.S. soldiers and Marines by providing the weaponry for it. It is amazing to me how far the president and the so-called journalism dean would bend over backwards to talk about freedom of speech. It's just shocking to me, truthfully. Now, I want to ask you what you think. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number on the Savage Nation. Do you think it was appropriate to have this megalomaniac, this killer of American Marines and troops, U.S. soldiers and Marines, in Iraq, speaking and being given a microphone in the United States of America? And I want to point something out that nobody has pointed out in the media. I see things that nobody else sees. It's not been said on anyone's show today. Fox News on the disgraceful Neil Cavuto show, which is a new low, was talking about donuts seized from a senior center. But nobody on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC noticed what I'm about to tell you. I am the only one about to tell you this. Did you notice that the name Columbia University had been blacked out on the lecterns? Michael Savage noticed that because he has the sharpest eye in the American media, which is why the show is so powerful. Which is why it is so influential. That is correct. Columbia University blacked out the name Columbia University from each of the lecterns on the stage. And there is a reason for that. You can pretty much figure out why the cowards at Columbia blacked out the name of their own university, can't you? Can you figure it out? Patrick, WOR, you're the first up. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael, I'm here in New York. I'm absolutely disgusted with the fact that this man is even here. I'm disgusted with the fact that this man was almost going to go down to ground zero where my comrades are buried alive. You know, it sickens me. I don't know what to say. I'm beside myself.
We had a goal. We have a golden opportunity to have this piece of human garbage arrested and tried for crimes against humanity and executed within 30 days. Let the survivors of Iranian torture chambers come forward and testify against him on television. And let's see if he has that smirk on his face when one after the other of those tortured by him comes forward.
I'd love
Thank you. That's all. Fort Lauderdale, Michael, your opinion, please, on the Hitler of Iran.
It was an absolute disgrace. The pimps at Columbia give this mass murderer a forum to propagate his nonsense. I'm not all about the homosexual lifestyle, but I commend them, too, for standing up in the face of his garbage and his nonsense. And if there are no homosexuals...
Could you imagine it was only the homosexuals who booed him? That there were actual stooges of this Hitler in the audience who cheered him? It was astounding to me how far Columbia University has fallen, that they would fill the audience with murderous thugs who support a Hitler like this. I was embarrassed for the Jews in the audience. They were apparently selected because they were the most deboned of the Jews in New York. The women did not say one word. They were apparently the declawed women. Only the gays had the guts to at least utter something.
Let a conservative or a Catholic stand up and say something, and they would have raised
the... Why did no one throw a pie in his face? They're pretty big at throwing pies at conservatives, all the brave liberals. Where are all the brave liberals today who speak for liberalism? How come they didn't throw a pie in his face or chant, hey, hey, how, how? Ahmadinejad has got to go, hey, hey, how, how? Where was the pink stinkos? Where was Code Stinko? How come they weren't there? All the fetid women that smell like rotten guava that fell off a tree in a rainforest. Suddenly they had nothing to say? They save it for Republicans without balls? You know, I'll tell you the truth. Everything I tell you is the truth, but I'll tell you a little more truth when I come back right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Amitachan, it's the first speaker in a distinguished lecture series under the auspices of President of Columbia University, and I do not believe that that is an appropriate invitation.
It seems to me that the function of university is to provide a forum for the expression
this
of...
This is Jimmy Carter's pimp,
including the most Brzezinski. Obnoxious. I don't believe in censorship. I don't believe in some sort of thought control.
I think we violate every premise of who we are when we don't allow people to...
This is Hegel, the sellout. Country.
I think it is an outrage against civilization.
Gingrich was right.
For Columbia University to lend its prestige and its status to a man, to a dictator whose government executes homosexuals, tortures and kills journalists, locks up students. I mean, the Iranian government locks up students. I think that Columbia University is being very foolish to allow that kind of person to have a venue like an American university.
Well, that's a spectrum of some of the commentary. Of course, George Bush was an embarrassment once again through his lack of leadership, saying virtually nothing, showing no outrage, showing no vigor, showing no leadership. It's disgusting. I tell you the truth. I don't know what country I'm living in anymore. I don't know if there's anyone running the country. I think it's just a group of lobbyists who sort of run the country one way or the other through which senators or congressmen they can buy. That's the feeling most of us are getting. We get a real bad feeling in our guts these days, don't we? That there's a vacuum at the top. Compared to the generations in the past, I've never seen this nation in such a sorry state. In all my decades on this earth, never in my historical reviews, in my living through American history or through a certain number of decades, I have never seen a more corrupt Congress and a more sad sack president in my entire life. There's a great story that the idiot who runs my website took down already before the show, and of course he's probably gone for the day. The most important story was removed today on the website, and that was about Chuck Schumer. Very important story I found over the weekend, and my wonderful webmaster has removed it from the website, so I'll have to put it up later on. But it shows Chuck Schumer's relationship to nursing homes and how when a group of nurses from the Philippines who were being exploited went on strike, he had them fired. He intervened in a foreign government. Schumer turns out to be now one of the most corrupt senators, according to this report. It's from the New York Daily News. No, it's from Newsday, I think. And they're in a series on it yesterday and today. It is seen virtually nowhere except the Newsday, I believe. I had it on my site, but my wonderful and brilliant webmaster took down the most important story. That's what I love about this website, is that I don't have to manage it at all. I don't have to micromanage it at all. I love it. We leave up stories that have almost no meaning whatsoever, like on vegetables, and we take down the story on human locks like Schumer. Schumer is a human locks in a pair of size 15 loafers. KNEW, San Francisco. Jeff, you're on the Savage Nation.
Uncle Mike, when I was watching that Hitler from Iran today, he reminded me exactly of what Charles Manson sounded like with his disconnected speech. He rambled from point to point, but he really made no sense. And Charles Manson was...
Did you see his eyes? Did you watch the evil? I thought that I was looking at the Antichrist. I looked at the face of a true psychopathic murderer. And all I could think of was this man has worn rubber aprons in torture chambers. And that is how he's risen from being a mechanical engineering professor to the president of this terrorist state of Iran. He's probably the biggest murderer in the country. He probably enjoys torturing people is what I thought. Now, I can't confirm that. But the fact of the matter is to let this man who supplies IEDs to our enemies in Iraq is to me evidence enough that the pinheads who run Columbia University are exactly what Americans think of them west of the Hudson River, which is that they're worthless, sellout quislings, all of them. That's all there is to it. Last night I needed to relax, and I watched the DVD that I told you about 2 weeks ago called Dogfights. And I don't mean about animals. I'm talking about our American air aces from World War II, Vietnam, and on into the Gulf War. It's probably the single most important documentary I've ever seen in my life, and I've watched as many documentaries as I can. And they show archival footage, and they show with digital recreations the guys flying them. And one of them is a guy named General Olds, going back to World War II, who earned his first kills in World War II and then flew in Vietnam. He flew the I forget the plane, the F-104, I think. I'm not quite sure. I think To make a long story short, they show his air battle recreated in World War II, where he's flying in a formation and he gets basically disconnected from his formation. He's only with one other man, a wingman. There's two planes, P-38 Lightnings. These are propeller planes. They come up against 60 German fighter planes. And instead of running from it, he goes at them. He goes after them. And he said the single most important thing to teach fighter pilots is aggression. The single most important thing to teach soldiers is aggression. Nothing else. He says you could teach them all the techniques in the world. All the techniques in the world, he said, are wonderful, but they mean nothing unless you instill in the pilot aggression to take the initiative against the enemy. And that's exactly what's missing with our president. It's exactly what's missing with our Congress. It's exactly what the American people are screaming for, is somebody to act like a man, somebody to take the initiative against these scum-sucking vermin, these Arab scum, these Iranian vermin. Why are we sitting here? I was so embarrassed that I lived in this country. The only people who spoke out were the homosexuals in the audience. I was astounded that with all the yarmulkes, not a whimper, not a word from the deboned Jews who were allowed into the auditorium, handpicked, selected in advance to be deboned. The women, the feminists, they know what goes on in Iran. Not one scream, not one yell, declawed. But apparently the gays were able to get in there and they mocked him. I would say to anybody listening to this show, if you're a graduate of Columbia and you have money, don't give them a dime. I'm a graduate of the University of California at Berkeley. I have a significant situation in life. I am not going to leave them 1 cent. Maybe they don't need it. Maybe they have tons of money from liberals. I don't care. I could have given Berkeley a fortune to set up a chair in ethnobotany or in one of the fields that I specialized in. I am not going to give the University of California 1 cent. I will not support this madness, this suicidal, narcissistic insanity. And I hope that you withdraw all of your funding, all of your donations to Columbia University. It is a disgrace.
Savage.
This isn't a question of rights or free speech. This is a question of judgment. Do you provide prestigious forum of a major U.S. university to an head of an authoritarian country that is the world's largest financer of terrorism around the world and is directly confronting and indeed responsible for the deaths of Americans in Iraq? I think the answer to that, as the very dean of Columbia's own law school has said, is no. And I think the reason Columbia extended this invitation was to get attention for Columbia. Well, they certainly got that.
That's former U.N. ambassador, great man, John Bolton, commenting on the Hitler of Iran speaking at Columbia University. As you know, John Bolton was dismissed from his position by the Democrats because he was too honest and too forthright and stood up to these tyrants. They've now put a shill in there who will fundamentally mock the land of the free and the home of the brave. We've now become the land of the freak and the home of the bray, the little sheeple. I have a lot I'd like to say, and I'm not going to say it. I think you can figure it out. I have a comment now about C-SPAN. Remember Brian Lamb, the little man Brian Lamb, who many of you tried to take on? Remember C-SPAN is a product of free speech. Now, they refused to play Michael Savage's Freedom of Speech Award using the excuse that C-SPAN does not replay DVDs of speakers. Well, last Friday, while broadcasting the National Rifle Association convention, C-SPAN showed a whole series of DVD speeches of the candidates who spoke there. Did you hear what I just say? Brian Lamb of C-SPAN has stolen the American airwaves for his own agenda and handed them over to the enemy. Brian Lamb should be dismissed for violating the C-SPAN charter. Brian Lamb is a quisling and a liar. Now, they will run Ahmadinejad, but they won't run Michael Savage. Isn't that interesting? Here is Ahmadinejad in his own words. One, we don't shy away from declaring that Islam is ready to rule the world. The wave of the Islamist revolution will soon reach the entire world. Our revolution's main mission is to pave the way for the reappearance of the 12th Imam, the Mahdi. Soon Islam will become the dominating force in the world, occupying first place in the number of followers amongst all of the religions. What is important is that they have shown the way to martyrdom, which we must follow. He's commenting on an aircraft crash in Tehran that killed 108 people in December of 2005. Ahmadinejad praises Iran for being able to recruit thousands of suicide bombers each day. Ahmadinejad praised his country's ability to recruit hundreds of suicide bombers a day, saying suicide is an invincible weapon. Suicide bombers in this land showed us the way and they enlighten our future. He said the will to commit suicide was, quote, one of the best ways of life. This little Hitler in elevated shoes said, quote, this regime will one day disappear. He said the Zionist regime is a rotten dry tree that will be eliminated by storm. He said Israel is a disgraceful stain on the Islamic world. He said Israel is doomed to be wiped from the map in a war of destiny. Ahmadinejad said that the countdown for the destruction of Israel has begun. He said Zionists are the personification of Satan. He then goes on about the United States of America. On and on and on. He says, by the grace of Allah, whoever that is, we will be a nuclear power. He says, Iran does not give a damn about resolutions. Shall I read a little bit more? Because I've seen this before. It's a repeat of history. I believe that I have a very deep spiritual belief that various evil forces keep reappearing in history, and that this is a reincarnation of Hitler in human form. I have a certain pragmatic streak in me, but I also have a weird mystical streak in my being. And I believe that this man is the reincarnation of absolute evil that has reappeared over and over again since the days of Christ. I think he is the Antichrist come to see all of us. And if you're a Christian, particularly a fundamentalist Christian, meaning a believing Christian as opposed to the mumbo-jumbo Christian, I believe you understand what I'm saying to you when I say he is the Antichrist. I believe you saw the face of the Antichrist today on your television sets, which is very agitating, by the way. He should have been seized on the platform by armed men, put a black hood put over his head. He should have been tried in public with a public trial with survivors of the death camps in Iran coming up one after the other and accusing him of what he did to them. After that trial, he should have been hung in public. That would have sent a strong message to the other would-be dictators of the earth. We have another one in New York right now, and that's the pineapple head from the South America, another very dangerous, psychopathic man in love with himself. Very dangerous, psychopathic individual in love with himself who's going to bring great harm and destruction to the wonderful people of Venezuela. He will bring his country to flames just as Hitler did. That's what all of these madmen do. Hitler said he would create a thousand-year Reich. Well, not a few years later, Germany was reduced to rubble. There was nothing left in Germany. The cities had been firebombed. I have a dark feeling that this will happen to Iran. That's what's going to happen. I have another feeling that the Iranians themselves will rise up and execute him, even within his own power structure. They cannot afford to have a madman like him rolling around the world declaring war on everybody. He is a very bad salesman. He's also a very dangerous megalomaniac. I suspect that there are forces within his own country, just as there were in Germany toward the end of the war, that tried to kill Hitler. I suspect there will be attempts on his life in the very near future. The Iranians are not a stupid people. They're an ancient people, and they understand the future of the world does not hinge upon this little madman. Strange thing happened to me yesterday, and then I'm going to take your calls in a minute here on the Savage Nation. I sat in the back of my boat yesterday. I didn't go out on it. I just sat in the back of the boat for about an hour. I was having a discussion with a religious man. He's a very deeply religious man. He's a religious man. He's got no money. He's a man who's very religious. He has no money. The phonies in religion make a lot of money. The real ones don't have a lot of money. He lives for God. To make a long story short, he was sitting in a little folding chair, and I was, and we were just chatting about things. And a praying mantis alighted on the rail of the boat right next to him. He had never seen this before. He said, Michael, what is that insect? I said, it's a praying mantis. He said, is it P-R-E-Y-I-N-G or P-R-A-Y-I-N-G? I said, it's praying, P-R-A-Y-I-N-G. He said, what is its significance? I said, it's a good luck insect. It's considered a very good luck for an insect such as this to land near a person. And it is named the praying mantis because it looks as though it is in prayer. We sat for an hour. This praying mantis did not budge on the rail of my boat. Not once. I even got up to fidget around with some canvas on the back of the boat. And he told me that my pants had brushed within a very close area of the insect, and it didn't move. At one point, I thought that I was seeing a vision that wasn't real. It looked like it was plastic. But there were many bewildering things about this incident, and I've got to go on for another minute about it. You know, you say, what's mysticism? You think it's like lightning and this and that? No, mysticism is in the small things. Many of you don't understand it. You may have mystical experiences occurring around you all day long because God speaks to us in almost in silent ways. God doesn't yell. God doesn't scream. God speaks to us in quiet ways sometimes with symbols and with signs. The insect sat there for the whole time we were talking. Now, number one, praying mantises are almost never seen around salt. I've never seen one. Let me put it to you that way. I'm a trained naturalist. I've never seen a praying mantis around salt water before. Never in my entire life, number one. Number two, what was it doing there? Why did it land on the back of the boat? Well, I have my own feelings about it, which is that I believe in reincarnation personally, and I believe it was a spirit that had come to try to make contact for some kind of levitation or release, if you want to put it to you that way, from the bondage of this reincarnation. And I asked this very religious man, and I wanted to see his reaction. I said, could you make a prayer for that insect? And he did. He made a prayer for the insect, basically, because he thought it was possibly a symbol from God as well. So it has nothing to do with Iran and Hitler, okay? Nothing, nothing whatsoever. But I'm trying to tell you something else, which is that I am a rationalist, by and large. I have a PhD in real science from a great university. But I also have a mystical side to me. Don't you understand that I didn't happen by accident? Don't you understand that I survive amongst the din with these thousands of outlets and voices? You still tune in this show? You wait for it every day? There's a reason for it. And you know the reason for it. And that is my way of telling you that the mystical side of me, while watching that Hitler of Iran, I saw a murderer. I saw a man who could happily work in a torture chamber, torturing people with blood spurting all over the wall. I saw the face of absolute evil in front of my eyes. Now, you may say, well, do all Iranians strike you as that? Absolutely not. They're Iranians of all stripes, all types. This man is a mass murderer. He's a psychopath. There was no place for him in the United States of America. It's astounding to me how asleep this country really is that you don't understand that there is a difference between granting an individual free speech and granting free speech to a despot. Totally different things. Do you understand that or not? Carol, in New York on WOR, go ahead, please.
Well, I'd like to know what you were talking about at the time that the mantis appeared, because I had an experience with a mantis once, and it was absolutely a sign from God. In fact, it came on a Sunday morning after I was extremely sick and crying the night before. I wasn't sure I was going to survive. The next morning, I went to church, and I was prayed for, and I was healed completely. But so the mantis was a sign for me to pray to God that that's where my miracle would come from. So I wonder what you were talking about at the moment that the mantis...
You know, I swear, as God is my witness, I can't recall exactly.
Try to remember, because that's...
I don't remember. I have no idea. I don't remember, Carol. It's not that I can recall. I'll have to call this gentleman up tonight and say, do you remember what we were talking about that hour? I don't remember. I just don't remember. I really don't. But I thank you for that call. I don't want to get sidetracked with the praying mantis here, but I think it was quite unique. And strange things happen to me once in a while. They really do. Cincinnati, Ohio. Ben, WKRC, welcome to the program.
Hello, Michael. How are you, sir?
Good.
Good, good. Just wanted to say, I don't get upset very often, but, I mean, we've got to be asleep as a nation for electing a government that allows an idiot from a terrorist-supporting country to come here and spat his nonsense in front of our youth. And I just want to say, and then I'm going to hang up and listen to you as I do every day, we have a perfect opportunity to elect officials in the future that will not allow this to happen to us at all. And
Are they? Tell me who that would be. Tell me which of the people waiting in the wings to be the next deceiver-in-chief would have had the guts to stand up and say, and get up and say, not in my country, you're not speaking here. Tell me which one of them. Which one of the charlatans Waiting in the Wings would do that.
I haven't even decided yet, but I'll quote you from an earlier show. It's the lesser of two evils, but we still have evil.
Yeah, right. If you choose the lesser of two evils, it's still evil. I don't know that I said that, but it sounds good whoever did. Now, Hitler was on 60 Minutes last night. And normally 60 Minutes is soft on murderers, mass murderers, psychopaths, dictators. But it's interesting that last night somebody on 60 Minutes got under the skin of Hitler. And Hitler freaked out. I don't know which soundbite it is, where he says, do you think I'm in a torture chamber here? I'm not going to answer your question. We'll find that one and be right back. Be here. Savage.
Hitler were in the League of Nations or at some meeting in New York. League of Nations wasn't there. Hitler were in the United States and wanted a platform from which to speak. He would have plenty of platforms to speak in the United States if he were willing to engage in a debate.
All right.
And
you're so liberal. You know what I love about professors is the hypocrisy that's written all over their faces. They're so liberal when it comes to pomposity. They apply their liberalism quite graciously. Of course, they denied the ROTC their freedom of speech. They denied, as I understand it, Rumsfeld his freedom of speech. They denied the Minutemen their freedom of speech. But when it comes to dictators, man, they can't get enough of them. My guess is they're dining with Hitler right now. They're breaking pita bread with him or whatever he might be eating. The eyeballs of human victims. They would probably not engage in such cuisine, but they would understand it because it's multicultural. If he chose to eat eyeballs, the eyeballs of victims from torture chambers, they would probably find it quite repugnant, I'm sure, the university professor. They themselves wouldn't eat the eyeballs of human beings, but they would understand that he might have to do that because it's his cultural prerogative and wish to do so. And since they are multicultural at Columbia University, and they understand so well, they understand people and cultures and multiculturalism. While they don't approve of eating of eyeballs, they understand why some men might have to eat human eyeballs. Cincinnati, Ohio, JC, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, it's a pleasure.
Thanks.
I've been a long-time listener, and I'll be honest, about 90% of the time I agree with you fully, and there are the other 10% when I'm screaming at my radio.
And today you're screaming or agreeing?
Oh, no, well, today I am. I understand the point, and I agree completely with the point. But if I have to make a point at all as far as why I would say Ahmadinejad could speak at a public platform in this country is because, for the most part, we don't really see much of him. People can say, well, you can go on the web and find things that he said.
Yeah.
People aren't going to do that. Most people are not going to go and look. They need to see it on their television sets when they're sitting down at dinner.
Yeah, but if the man won't answer a question, if he gives these weaselly answers and he keeps turning it around and saying, you're wrong, Israel's wrong, doesn't answer a question, what kind of debate is that? He won't answer a question. He didn't answer a question.
You can see right through him. You said how pathetic he looked on stage and how silly his arguments sounded.
You think that the man is insane to come to a foreign country like this on a public relations tour and dress in such – let's start with the basics – such a misfitting, shabby suit. What does that tell you about the man's judgment?
As far as his judgment, I mean, most of the time you see him, he's wearing one of those, like, khaki jackets.
No, but why would he wear a misfitting suit like that as the head of state? Why? Let's start with the basics. What does that tell you about the man's mind? That's what you have to think about. Huh? Rena, WOR, New York, go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. I'm a high school student, and I just want to let you know that a lot of Jewish high schools all over New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut, Pennsylvania came to protest against the Iranian Prime Minister, President, today.
Good for you. Thank God there's some life left in New York. But what about the kids sitting in the hall there? Weren't they pre-selected because they had no guts left? Isn't that why they were allowed in the hall?
Yeah, that's why they were allowed in the hall, and I think Columbia...
How is it that when a Republican speaks... there are individuals who are allowed to run and scream, even in a Congress, our own Congress, a group of stinking women were able to run up and scream a few weeks ago? How come there was no outburst in that hall at Columbia today? Was the security that tight, Rena?
I don't think so. I think this is just what American culture has become.
In other words, they picked Jewish kids without a bone in their body? Is that who they picked? That's who they let in?
Yeah, they let in everyone who wouldn't protest, and that's who they let in. And everyone who wanted to protest was outside protesting.
I see. So the real protesters were not inside, they were outside.
No.
Well, thank God that there's a spirit in you, Rena. You're a wonderful person. I'm going to send you my Freedom of Speech DVD, okay? Stay on the line. We'll send that out to you. We will send that out to you. Ed, WFTL, Fort Lauderdale. Welcome. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael, I just called you to talk about this Iranian terrorist at the UN here.
Yes, sir.
Have the American people forgotten about the 52 hostages? I'm a retired Marine, and most of them hostages were Marines. And the little peanut picker who was sitting in the Washington, D.C., you know, he ought to be arrested, too. And that is Columbia University head guy. He had his own agenda. You know, I mean, yeah, he ragged on this guy. And
right. He used it to make himself look, he thought, look noble. But truthfully, nothing that he said was heard by anybody.
Then again, Michael, the New York Times, after his little speech, took him out to lunch. You know, he ought to be locked up and executed for the 52 hostages for 444 days.
I agree with you. If we had another leader in another time, A, the man wouldn't have come here, but he wouldn't have been allowed in. Or we would have set it up as a decoy, let him come in, and then we would have had him arrested and all of his bodyguards arrested. They would have been tried for crimes against humanity. We would have had witness after witness of those who escaped Iranian torture chambers, and then they would have been executed in public for the world to see that America shall not be trampled upon. Isn't that what you feel, my friend?
I feel that exactly. But you know what?
Amen. 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 You're
Savage.
Not alone.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
In Iran,
we don't have homosexuals like in your country. We don't have that in our country. In Iran, we do not have this phenomenon. I don't know who's told you that we have it.
This isn't a question of rights or free speech. This is a question of judgment. Do you provide prestigious forum of a major U.S. university to an head of an authoritarian country that is the world's largest financer of terrorism around the world and is directly confronting and indeed responsible for the deaths of Americans in Iraq? I think the answer to that, as the very dean of Columbia's own law school has said, is no. And
very good. John Bolton has it just right. And, of course, the opening of the Hitler of Iran with the booing, that was not a cut from the Jack Benny show, unless you want to call this clown, this genocidal maniac, the Jack Benny of genocide. I mean, if you want to make light of him. I saw the face of evil. There are evil people on the earth. We know that from reality shows. We know that from courtroom TV. We know there are people who get off in torturing others, in hurting others. We know that there are world leaders who are like those individuals on a gross scale. This man is a mass murderer. He is a psychopathic danger to the survival of the world. Never mind the free world. His own people are going to wind up in a smoldering ruin. We have a golden opportunity to arrest this man on the spot, try him for genocide, bring forth witnesses who have survived the torture chambers of Tehran, bring forward the Kurds who are being shelled by this bum, try him and kill him and broadcast it across the world. It will send the chills through the spines of the madmen around the globe who think that America does not have any leadership. The American people can't take this anymore. And truthfully, the vacuum at the top is nauseating. The senators, the congressmen who are our elected representatives, who are nothing but glorified lobbyists, disgust me even more than Ahmadinejad do. When I read the article from the Newsday, did nursing home company buy Schumer's help? You have to ask yourself, who do we turn to? You got to read the article. It's up on michaelsavage.com. If you don't want to go to Newsday, read it from my site. Here's a man who poses, Schumer poses, as a man of the people, as an honest man who can't be bought. Read this article. Even Newsday in his own town is showing in black and white that he intervened because nurses who were being abused by a couple of companies here in America went on strike. He had them fired. Schumer backed the company, not the nurses. Now, this story should be splashed across all the newspapers in America. It's not even in the New York Post. My hat's off to Newsday. I can't believe that it's not in the newspapers around this country. But why is this important? Why is it important that you read the story about nursing home corruption and Schumer? Because that's why. This story is a microcosm of why we have no leadership in the Senate, no leadership in Congress at all, no leadership in the president's office. They're all sacking the treasury. They're just basically trying to rake in as much money as they can, as fast as they can, like Grant took Richmond, because nobody is watching them. Nobody has any power over them. Consequently, we are literally living through a government anarchy right now. We are living through government anarchy. We have a government anarchy raging in America, which is why, although Bush's ratings are in the 20s, theirs are in the teens. Never in my lifetime have I seen government anarchy of the type we have now. Who is at the helm, you ask? You tell me who's at the helm. That is why into this void, into this vacuum, rather, steps the Hitler of Iran. He knows that there are no men to stand up to him at the highest level. He knows they're all stealing as much as they can, as fast as they can. He knows he only has to face the pimps of Colombia, the sold-out schmucks of Colombia. Academics are going to stand up to the Hitler of Iran. Instead, they're going to double talk about freedom of speech. Tell that to the ROTC. Tell that to Donald Rumsfeld, who wasn't allowed to speak there. Tell that to the Minutemen who had to be dragged off the stage because they were being threatened by the thugs of Colombia. Don't give me a lecture on freedom of speech at Colombia. There is no freedom of speech. There's none whatsoever. Freedom of speech on C-SPAN, they run his speech, but they won't run my speech, coming up with the big lie that I'm a bigger threat than Ahmadinejad, that little man Lamb. The man should be arrested. Lamb, Brian Lamb, I'm talking to you, you little man. You should be dismissed for violating the C-SPAN charter. You are an evil man, Brian Lamb. You're a Quisling through and through, and it shows you what we're up against in this country. Beware the government media complex. It's a virus that is spread from the government, through the media, and we the people are rudderless. We have nobody at the helm. We have nobody to lead us, by the way. I will now open up the forum on the Savage Nation to the listeners. This is a very emotional day. I watched it all morning. I watched the Hitler of our time appear first before the schmucks at the National Press Club, who had all of the sickening kind of rhetoric that only academic journalists could have, self-satisfied, stupid laughter. You had a panel sitting up there that did nothing and said nothing. They selected Scarface from Fox News to represent conservatives. I guess if she had been able to ask Ahmadinejad a question, she could have asked about Natalie Holloway and if she's hidden somewhere in Iran. It looked like that's all that was on her mind. Next to her was the big mouth Eleanor Clift. Big yap on Eleanor Clift. Time magazine, big Eleanor Clift, big mouth during the Clinton years, a big mouth for all Republicans. Sat there without a mouth on her, didn't say one word, not one word through the whole speech. but sat there to add legitimacy to the Hitler of Iran. After all, what was the panel for if there were no questions? They were there to show legitimacy to this guy. It shows you the country you're living in. You heard of show trials in the Soviet Union after World War II. You heard of show trials, fake trials, where innocent people were condemned and executed. This was a show debate. What you saw today at the National Press Club was a show debate, something that would have been conducted in the ex-Soviet Union, where a bunch of stooges from various publications sit there and don't say anything, but they add legitimacy. The title of their organization is shown, so there's a legitimacy added to the Hitler of Iran. So you can laugh at the whole thing. You say, why do I care? The guy in his bad suit, he's just a clown. Well, you should care. You better care. Apathy is the greatest threat to the survival of this country, and I have never seen such apathy in my entire life. Never. And it starts with the man at the top. That is correct. The reason this country is in this state of broken spirituality is because of the apathetic leader that we have. Joe, in New York City on OR, go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, you already answered my question about what you thought about President Bush's comments that if it was okay with Colombia, it was okay with him. Could you please tell me what you think the great President Reagan would have done with his visit and what Rudy Giuliani might have done if he was president?
But even Giuliani, I'm not a great fan of Giuliani's politics, but he did stop Arafat from a certain venues in New York, to his credit. But that was a long time ago. The country has changed, Joe. What did Giuliani have to say today about Ahmadinejad? Answer, zilch, nada, nothing, zero. Giuliani said nothing, did he? He's running for president. What did he say about Ahmadinejad?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Where is he? What's he doing? His wife's laundry? Where is his wife? Asked him to come home and do the laundry. He can't be reached. His cell phone went out of service. He's out of range. Where is Giuliani? WRKO Boston, Bill, your comment, please.
Hi, Michael. I was on the campus of that university 10 years ago. I was working there for one day, and I saw people, like two girls and a guy. The girls were in granny dresses, and they all had yarmulkes on, and they were posting up flyers. So I went up to see what it said. It said, people with property should be arrested and killed, the property should be confiscated. And I was tempted to tear it down, and I also looked at them and said, well, that's against every law and duties, and you know, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. So I couldn't figure out why they were wearing yarmulkes, but it was...
So you ran into some Jewish Marxist 10 years ago?
Yeah, and so that's pretty scary. If what's okay at Columbia is okay with...
Oh, so that's who they let in there into the hall there, the morons without bones in their body?
Those are lawyers today, I'm sure. And that's what that's...
I don't know what they are today. They could be hedge fund operators today. You know, there's an old adage, what do you call a communist with two children?
But no one was making them take it down.
A Republican, that's all. What do you call a communist with three children? A conservative. Thanks for the call. New Hampshire, Mark, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you, sir.
Up here in New Hampshire. Watching that speech this afternoon, I was just appalled. One of the reasons, the first thing I noticed is that, you know, being from a small college in New England and then a professional university from a professional degree, I've spoke at both universities, and I am so proud every time that when I do speak that the name of the college and university is plastered all over the place, and I take pride in that. I looked.
So did you hear what I said in the last hour, that I was the only one in the media who noticed that the name Columbia University had been blacked out on the lecterns?
No, I didn't hear that. But, you know, Dr.
Yeah, I'm the only one in the media who noticed that. And I'm the first one and the only one who noticed that. Did anyone hear that? What did I talk to myself here? The lecterns. The lecterns, the things they stand behind. The name Columbia University had been taped over with black. That's how proud they are of this man that they invited there. Now, why would Mr. Lee Bollinger, the so-called president of so-called Columbia, so-called university, why, if he was so proud of free speech, would Mr. Bollinger and that pathetic dean of journalism have blacked out the name of their university if they were so darn proud of the speaker they had invited? Think about that one. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We'll be right back.
On MichaelSavage.com, you have to go on there, and there's a photo of the day that you're you got to print this up. It's a TSA agent frisking a nun at the airport. But wait, it gets worse. The TSA agent is a Muslim on her, wearing a headscarf, opening up the nun's habit and looking inside. Is this the kind of country you think the men of the past died for? To let this piece of garbage disgrace a nun like this? What's happened to this country? We hire Muslim women and let them wear headscarves at the airport, and they humiliate nuns, and you think that that's the mark of a humane society? It's the mark of a society that isn't worth surviving. Your society is rubbish. You let a Muslim TSA agent humiliate a nun at an airport, and you walk by it, and you say the other man is evil, you're evil. You should spit in the face of that TSA agent, in my opinion. You should all object to such a thing. You should call it an infamy to let this go on in your country. You let this woman disgrace a nun like that in your country. You'd walk right by it. How different are we than in India where they walk by the dead? How different are we than any other nation where apathy reigns in the land? We have become a disgraced nation of no spine whatsoever. The Hitler of Iran speaks. You see a sea of yarmulkes and none of them have a bone in their body. Gefilte fish with no bones in them. Gefilte fish with yarmulkes sat there today. And the feminists, the big mouth feminists of Colombia, big mouth feminists, they're a Republican speak. There they are. Hey, hey, ho, ho. All the hey, hey, ho, ho-ers. Big feminists at Colombia. Let a conservative speak. They get hysterical. You can smell their stench in the street a mile away. They get so hysterical. But the Hitler of Iran comes and the feminists sit there without a mum. Not a word comes out of them. Not a word. The only ones who showed guts today were the homosexuals. It just shows you where the power is in this country. That's right. The pink hand, at least it showed guts. I take my hat off to them. At least they showed guts. But you have to go on to MichaelSavage.com and see the photo of the day. A Muslim TSA agent frisking a nun at an airport. That is what your country has come to under George Bush and Nancy Pelosi. A nun being frisked at an airport by a Muslim TSA agent, and the people are walking by as though they don't even see it. That is what your country has come to under George Bush, the Frito of presidents, and Nancy Pelosi. And by the way, where is Nancy Pelosi? Remember when she came to power, she couldn't shut her yap? Every day, Nancy Pelosi giving a speech. One speech after the other. Nancy Pelosi this, Nancy Pelosi that. She was mumbling, stumbling, making a fool of herself. Where is she? How come she stopped talking? How come we haven't seen much of Dianne Feinstein or Barbara Boxer lately? Big feminist women, huh? How come they're not talking anymore? Figure that one out and get back to me on it. Get back to me on it. Dan, KNEW, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi. I've been getting pissed about this Mahmoud stuff. I went to Columbia 4 years. I was a football player. Got recruited to go there. Didn't really care about politics. But when I showed up to a war protest once, I saw all my friends on the counter protest, you know, supporting America and stuff. And
how do you feel today about the Hitler of Iran speaking at your alma mater?
I've been ashamed. I emailed everybody I knew that I went to school with.
But don't leave them a dime. How's that? Don't give them a dime. Give it to the ASPCA. Give it to the Humane Society. I wouldn't leave a dime to the University of California at Berkeley. And believe me, I have plenty to leave. I'm not giving them a dime. I wouldn't feed these liberal bums a nickel. Let them all starve for money, all of them. Don't forget what I said to you. Photo of the day. Muslim TSA agent frisking a nun at an airport. United States of America, circa 2007. That's your country today under George Bush. That's your country today under Nancy Pelosi, the Irish Catholic grandmother from San Francisco. That's what your country has come to. There's nobody at the helm. Nobody's running anything. It's all lobbyists.
Savage.
When I ask you a question as direct as, will you pledge not to test a nuclear weapon,
You dance all around the question. You never say yes. You never say no.
Well, thank you for that. You are like a CIA investigator. And
I am just a reporter. I am a simple, average American reporter.
This is not Guantanamo Bay. This is not a Baghdad prison. This is not a secret prison in Europe. This is not Abu Ghraib.
All right, turn it off. I can't listen to it anymore. He should be arrested. Black hood thrown over his head. His bodyguards restrained at four-point restraints. They should be tried on television. All of the victims of Iranian torture chambers should be brought forward, the survivors. The homosexual survivors of the couples of the homosexuals who were killed, women who have been mutilated by this madman, should give testimony. When he is found guilty of being a mass murderer, he should be executed in public for the world to see. Then we'll have an America back. That's one man's opinion. You don't like it? It's too bad. Don't give me a speech about free speech. I don't want to hear it anymore. I want to puke when I hear you liberals talk about free speech. You don't believe a word of it. You don't believe a word of your free speech garbage. Where was the free speech when the ROTC appeared on Columbia? Where was the free speech when the Minutemen tried to appear at Columbia? You liars, you're all a bunch of frauds, and you're cowards through and through, all of you liberal bums. You're big with the pies. You're big with the pies when there's nobody who can hurt you. You throw your pies like the big phonies you are. You run up with your pies and you titter back to your boyfriend there. All you frauds, you liberal bums, you. You're big with throwing pies at Republicans. And at the conservatives. But you had no pie for Ahmadinejad today, did you? All you big shot liberals at Columbia. All you free speech frauds. Where were the pies for them? I kept waiting for a Jew to throw a tomato. I was waiting for a Jew to throw a piece of gefilte fish out of him. I was waiting for a Jew, one of the Sea of Yarmulkes there in the audience, to stand up and scream and be taken out. They sat there, deboned. Deboned gefilte fish where the yarmulke was sitting there. I don't know that this country can survive. I really don't know it. There's nobody running anything. Schumer, Bigfoot Schumer, big man for the downtrodden. The poor Filipino nurses who were brought in here like a press gang to work in the corrupt nursing homes run by his racketeer friends. They go on strike and Bigfoot enters the puzzle and sends letters to the Philippine government and they wind up deported out of the country. That's Schumer, the big compassionate Schumer, the great liberal. Did it make it to your paper? No, but it was in Newsday. You didn't see it in the Times, did you? They protect their own, don't they? But when Duke Cunningham was caught with corruption, a Vietnam War ace, he's got 8 years now in prison. He went to prison for 8 years, Duke Cunningham. Yes, he was corrupt, but I say let the punishment fit the crime. If we had a real president, he would have pardoned Mr. Cunningham by now. He would have been out of jail for time served. But we don't have a president. We have a Frito. We have a Frito up there. That's why this petty, cruel dictator can come to our country, because there's nobody at the top to say the buck stops here. He's not coming into this country. If he sets foot in New York, I'm having him arrested. And if you don't like it, Bollinger, it's too bad. I'm the president. You're only a university a spokesman. That's it. That's what a president would have done. A real president. Instead, Bush says, let him speak. Then Bush says, Hillary's the winner of the next election, basically. I couldn't believe this. It's like a nightmare come true every day. It's like a nightmare that keeps evolving. So let me turn it over to you. Again, I want to refer to two things. You got to go to my website for one picture only. You don't want to read the stories. I don't care. Please download the picture. Photo of the day. Muslim TSA agent opening up the habit of a nun at an airport, humiliating her. Humiliating a nun at our airport. A Muslim humiliating a nun at an airport. That's a picture that is worth 10,000 pictures. Also remember that I am the first and only person in the United States media who noted that at Columbia, the lecterns had the name Columbia University blacked out with either tape or paint today. I was the first, but I won't be the last. Somebody will steal it, no doubt. The golfer tomorrow will make believe he noticed it. He thinks you don't listen to me in the afternoon. The next day he steals my material. But you'll remind him, won't you? You'll remind that sad sack that I'm the only one who really sees with full eyes and hears with full ears. I am the only one in the media who sees with full eyes and hears with full ears. And now I'll turn it over to you. Boise, Idaho. Becky, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you for taking my call. My sister and I really do enjoy your program. I don't know what that university was thinking, but I do believe that whoever allowed the president of that university to allow this smut to talk, they should all...
Oh, but don't you believe in free speech, Becky? Don't you believe that we live in a country where freedom of speech prevails and that he should be given his time to speak, as the good liberals would say?
Yeah, right.
The liberals have selective free speech and pompous speeches for everyone else. They believe in freedom of speech when they want people to speak. You know, they didn't have freedom of speech for the ROTC. They didn't have freedom of speech. They did not have it for the Minutemen. How come they have freedom of speech for the Iranian Hitler? Thank you for the call. Doug, the KXL in Portland. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Michael, you are food for the patriotic soul. I'll tell you that. Hey, when I saw the Hitler of Iran this morning, the SOB in that car, when he set foot on this in this country, I feel like we're turning for the worst. Our big, beautiful American train is being derailed. And the only way that he should speak in this country, in my country, you hear that, Savage Nation? My country is with buckshot in his mouth. He should not be here.
I agree. I believe he should have had a black hood thrown over his head. His bodyguard should have been detained by American U.S. Marshals or a contingent of U.S. Marines, and they should be tried, all of them, for mass murder. And then they should be executed in public and hung from a telephone pole in Manhattan. That would give me satisfaction. How about you? A little too shocking for your university types? You only like real dictators, don't you? You don't like this kind of language from a talk show, do you? But you let a real mass murderer come here and give you the double talk and the BS. Well, let me tell it to you like it is. It's you university types that are killing us all over again. You're a little too understanding for me. Rich, WOR, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Thanks for taking my call, Michael. I think this is going to backfire. I think it already has. I think this is a good thing because America has been asleep for so long, and they need to see Hitler in the flesh. They need to see him in his shabby state, because there's no way that this president or any other president, President Giuliani or any other president, is going to be able to make the case for war after the Iraq mistake unless...
I don't know what you're talking about. What President Giuliani? Where's he a president of? What, a detective agency?
Well, I think he's got a good chance, and I
know you're a flack for the Giuliani campaign. Okay, good luck to you. Thanks for throwing it in there. Where is Giuliani today? He's a candidate for the presidency. How come he hasn't said a word? Did I miss it? Was he doing his wife's laundry today and he turned his cell phone off? President Giuliani is traveling right now and can't be reached. How come he has nothing to say about Ahmadinejad? Where is he right now? Anybody have an answer to that one? WTNT, Rob, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike. I'm Rob from College Park, and I tell you that the University of Maryland is super liberalized, and it would be pretty sad if we had Ahmadinejad on our campus.
I know. All right. Next case. Go on to my website. Shock video shows racially motivated beating of white teen by a black gang. Go ahead. Look at it. There's no Sharpton or Jackson there. No one there. Group of cowardly blacks beating up a white boy simply because he's white. He's 13 years old. Caught on video. How come there's no... free the Gina 8 now. When they free them for beating the white boy, they're making up for past oppression. They were finally caught on tape, this gang, beating up a white boy. You think it'll make it to the CNN ran around the clock. The new civil rights movement, the Gina 6, he has the Gina 6 mother. Why is he in jail? Because he's a bum thug. Because he was part of a black gang that beat up a white kid. That's why he's in jail, you idiots. Around the clock, the victim. They turned the beaters into a victim. Around the clock, that although they beat him, they didn't beat him, and he got what he deserved, because although he didn't do it personally, his ancestors were bad, so he should have been beaten up by the blacks because they're all victims in Louisiana. This is how far the press is, the media has come today. But go ahead, go on the website, take a look at the video. Black gang beating up a white boy. You think they'll go to jail? Or will Sharpton out-tongue everybody? Chicago, Ann, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi. Nobody wants to get tased. That's why they're not speaking up. I think that taser situation was a setup for this, so that nobody would want to speak up.
Oh, you mean they're afraid to get up for fear that they'd be tasered by the brave campus police? Well, the gays spoke out. They didn't get tasered. when he said there are no homosexuals in Iran. The gays, you heard them, didn't you, today?
Pardon me?
Okay, play the piece. Now, here's Ahmadinejad saying there are no homosexuals in Iran. And the only group that spoke out were the homosexuals. Listen.
In Iran,
we don't have homosexuals like in your country. We don't have.
Yeah, he suddenly became the Jack Benny of a mass murder. The Jack Benny of genocide is Ahmadinejad. He could have actually a big career on one of the American networks. I'm sure that Murdoch is considering giving him a reality show called. You bet your life. Only in this case, it really would be your life. The laughter was right out of the Jack Benny. Has anyone said a word, any of the candidates, about this man? Did I miss something here? I don't get this one. Jeremy, Providence, Rhode Island, you're on the Savage Nation.
Okay. First off, I totally think he should have been allowed to speak there. Do I agree with it? Well, no. I think he's a horrible person. And just like everyone else would like to see someone run up and, you know, take him out. But he should be allowed to speak there. If the university wants to let him speak there, that's their choice. If they don't want
to... Why did the university allow him to speak, but they wouldn't allow the ROTC to appear and speak on the campus? How does that match in your head?
That we'd have to ask them, look, if they don't want to, that's their choice. That's war in America.
Whoa. Wait a minute. The man gave these pompous academic frauds, gave long speeches about the freedom of speech and all. They detest him. They would protest him. He has the right to speak. How come they don't have the same feeling about the ROTC?
Look, I hate the liberal pukes and all that.
But wait a minute. How can they say they believe in freedom of speech while censoring the ROTC and letting a mass murderer like this appear there? How does that compute, my friend?
Of speech isn't about force.
And by the way, if Columbia University was so proud of their selection as a speaker, why did they tape over the name Columbia University on the lecterns? I'm the only one in the media who noticed that. Did you hear me say that earlier, Jeremy?
I did, and they probably aren't. I don't know how to explain it. I'm not.
Why would Mr. Lee Bollinger, the great president of Columbia, have taped over or had blacked out the name Columbia University from the lecterns? I am the first, but I will not be the only nor the last person in the American media to have noticed that. Thus far, I'm the only one who is talking about it. If they were so proud of him, why'd they black out the name Columbia University? I'll tell you why. Because they realize that in the future, people will show pictures of the Hitler of Iran speaking at Columbia, you know, in the same frame, and it wouldn't be good for PR downstream. So they know what they were playing with here. They know exactly what they did. They know exactly how evil he is. And they also are so cynical as to believe that we're going to believe their double talk malarkey about their belief in freedom of speech. They don't believe in freedom of speech at all whatsoever. Now, they say that Iranians speak Farsi. It gives new meaning to the play on the word Farsi. I would say what we heard today from this psychopathic mass murderer was a farce. That is true. And he did speak of his farce in Farsi. But I do not believe we should change the spelling of the language Farsi from F-A-R-S-I to F-A-R-C-E. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Watershed in American history to see how weak we have become and how infested the mind of the nation has become with these liberals in the universities. The only outcry was from the homosexuals, and I tip my hat to the homosexuals. At least they had the guts to boo the man. The Jews were like a filter fish without bones in them today. They sat there saying nothing. When asked about the executions of homosexuals in Iran, the Hitler said the judiciary system executed violent criminals and high-level drug dealers, comparing them to microbes eliminated through medical treatment. You hear? Now, I've been trying to tell you he's the Hitler of our time, but many of you don't want to accept it because you hate Jews. So you figure since he hates Jews, he's not all bad. But he just said that, exactly the rhetoric of Hitler, that it's like microbes eliminated through medical treatment. Next, he's pressed about the punishment of homosexuals, and he says, in Iran, we don't have homosexuals like in your country, to derisive laughter. Listen.
We don't have homosexuals like in your country. We don't have that in our country.
That Iran. That got him mad. Hey, that got him mad. The pink hand got agitated over that. Death, genocide, nothing hurt. Genocide, nothing. Torture, nothing. Putting women in burkas, nothing. But you dare say a word about homosexual? I tip my hat to them. At least they're vocal. At least they said something. At least they have some spine. You heard the one outcry in America was from the homosexuals. They didn't get tasered, by the way. Notice they didn't get tasered for booing? No, no. But if a Christian had stood up and said something, I guarantee you they would have had the hair pulled and would have ripped out with a taser in their mouth. KNEW, Rowan, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Savage. My name is Raman, R-A-M-A-N, calling from San Jose. Listen, I've been 15 years here. I'm a Christian. They are lying. This guy's lying because they arrest me because I have a cross on my neck. They put me in prison in Iran to clean Muslims' bathroom. I've been here 15 years. I hate him. I can't even believe it that they put him in this country.
Raman, you're Iranian. I want to ask you. I received an unsolicited letter telling me that this man worked the torture chambers of Tehran during the Iranian Revolution. Did you hear any such stories that he was a personal, sadistic torturer, and that's how he rose to prominence within the madmen of the clerics?
You are 100% right. I'd write that letter for you. I do all the documentation. I had my cousin snatched from the house because he was crying for execution of one of the political people. She was just 14 years old. She was crying. They snatched her in the middle of the night from her mother's house in Bandar Abbas, one of the ports in Iran. They snatched her for 8 years. Nobody saw her. She was in Evin, in the prison of Evin. Nobody saw her. When she came back, she was raped. She was brainwashed. And nobody say anything about it. There should be people like me over there and ask them these questions, not some liberals, some lefties, or some, you know, atheists over there just clap for him when he finishes. I'm ashamed of this country. I'm ashamed of this government. You know, I
feel the same way. I mean, why do you think I'm doing the show today? I'm sick to my stomach that we have such a lack of leadership at the highest levels. Where, after all, is Giuliani today? The great Giuliani. How come he said nothing so far? Nothing. Nothing. Has he said anything today? No. What, he turned his cell phone off so he could do his wife's laundry? Raman, you have my blessings. That's all I can say. I'm doing the best I can. I'm almost a voice in the wilderness here. I feel every day it's getting harder and harder for me. It's like a voice in the wilderness. I watched this all morning for you and for me. And when I saw the lecterns had been covered over with black tape, normally a lectern has the name of the place, the Hilton San Diego or whatever, Sheraton, or the name of the university is on a lectern. That's how they get a little publicity. I'm looking at it, and I see the lecterns were blacked out, painted over or taped over. Now, if Lee Bollinger, the president of Columbia, is so proud of free speech and so proud of himself that he invited Ahmadinejad, why did he black out the name of his university from the lecterns? Why? Think about it. Just think about the arrogant cynicism of the university, the Columbia University, that they would, on one hand, lie to you and say that they're proud that they invited him. On the other hand, they black out the name of the university. I want to remind you that I'm going to play clips from my Freedom of Speech Award in the next hour, the speech that Brian Lamb and C-SPAN will not show and would not show you. But they will show you the Hitler of Iran and let him speak freely. That's what liberals do. They lie about everything. That lying bum, Brian Lamb, said that he didn't play my DVD because C-SPAN doesn't play DVDs of speakers. Well, last Friday, Brian Lamb and his little men, while broadcasting the NRA convention, showed a whole series of DVD speeches of the candidates who spoke there. Brian Lamb of C-SPAN should be dismissed for violating the C-SPAN charter. He is a coward and a quisling. In the next hour, you'll hear the speech that C-SPAN would not let be played on C-SPAN. Only dictators need apply.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I remember the 1960s when true liberals used to say, I may disagree with you, but I would fight to the death your right to say it. When have you last heard a liberal say, oh, I may disagree with conservative talk radio, but I would fight to the death their right to say what they believe in? I don't hear that anymore. What instead I hear is their threats to national security. That was stated on the congressional floor by Congressman Hinchey. He says, I'm a threat to national security, and he's trying to pass the so-called fairness doctrine to close down freedom of speech. Is that liberalism? Liberals used to say, I may disagree with you, Michael Savage, but I would fight to the death your right to say it. That's what this country has been about from the day it was founded. That's the trail of tears and the trail of blood that led to the freedoms that we enjoy in this country today. And we cannot permit a few small-minded martinets who don't even know that they're inhabiting the souls of dictatorships in Congress right now to deny us our freedom of speech. Where are the true good liberals?
In Iran, we don't have homosexuals like in your country. We don't have that in our country.
This is what the academic establishment has come down to. The pimps at Columbia University know they made a big mistake. They would permit speeches of the Minutemen to be interrupted. They would ban Rumsfeld. They would not permit the ROTC on the campus. But a mass murderer like Ahmadinejad, they let come to New York and they let him lie. What a country. It's a disgrace to live in America that would permit this man.
In Iran, we do not have this phenomenon. I don't know who's told you that we have it.
The reason I don't go to a house of worship is I like fire and brimstone. Instead, I get Mr. Rogers and Mr. Pieper. So I stopped going a long time ago, whether it was a church where they got more concerned with sending canned goods to Nicaragua or a synagogue where I had rabbis trying to do Woody Allen imitations and made the whole thing about bagels and lox. I stopped going. So I like fire and brimstone. So if I want fire and brimstone, when I need a dose of religion, I go back to the source itself, which is the Bible. And it's not really a pleasant book to read. It's really not a very forgiving book, because the Lord is not a forgiving God. God himself is not really forgiving. Now, Jesus in the Christian Bible, the Christian people will tell you that Jesus is forgiving, and that may be so. But if you read the so-called Old Testament, which is the Bible itself, it is a book of fire and brimstone. It is the book that the fundamentalists still read. At least that's when the churches were full, and the churches that are full are the churches where the preacher pounds the podium, and he reads Isaiah 27, and it's relevant to today's news. He says, behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, with his anger burning and in thick uplifting of smoke. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is as a devouring fire. Now, what's interesting to me is they're talking about God. They use the word anger, burning, indignation. His tongue is like a devouring fire. His breath is as an overflowing stream. And why? He wants to sift the nations with the sieve of destruction. You hear that one? God is going to sift the nations with the sieve of destruction. He didn't want all nations to survive then, and he probably doesn't want all nations to survive now. Now, you may say it's not Christian for the innocent to die. I would suggest you read the Old Testament and see what the Bible has to say about innocent dying in warfare. There was no distinction between the guilty and the innocent. Once the dervish of war began, it was kill or be killed. Once the dervish of war began, there was no religion, there was only survival. And my friend, I am afraid that the psychotics who hold up their holy book and say that God wants them to kill you, and they can prove it right here and right now, and here's a passage which says it, or you can go on my website on michaelsavage.com and take a look at these filthy little men with dirty little beards who have held hostage the entire world of Islam, setting it back beyond even the 9th century to the 7th century. Because as I've shown you through a historical arc, I've traced the arc of the Muslim rise from the 7th century onwards. And I have told you that by the 9th century, the fanaticism of the 7th century was already lessened. And there was integration between the peoples, the Muslim peoples and the others. They got along. They worked together. These throwbacks are trying to take Islam back even further than the 9th century. They're taking Islam back to the beginnings, to the 7th century. Think about what I'm saying to you. If you're a Muslim, you better pay careful attention. You probably don't even know yourself that these little filthy men with dirty beards do not represent Islam at all. They represent a fanatical form of Islam that even Islam itself fled from in order to develop, in order for the people to prosper and to benefit. And how they have adherents and followers in this country is astounding to me. But then again, when you look at the immigration policies of Bill Clinton, and you look at what Doris Meissner, the then INS commissioner, did with her asylum and reaching out to the Arab Muslim world, bringing in 16 people from one family at a time, putting the whole family on welfare, for example, and then them bringing in more relatives, bringing in women wearing black tents over their bodies with only eye slits showing. You understand why we are in the pickle we are in. It all comes back to an immigration policy that was broken by Bill Clinton and further destroyed by George Bush. An immigration policy itself, this immigration policy, the problem with the Mexican border is only the tip of the iceberg. It started long before the border with Mexico. The Mexicans aren't the problem. The Mexicans aren't preaching that they want to overthrow America. There are some amongst them, we understand, they'll never get anywhere because, by and large, most of the Mexican workers want the very same thing that everybody else wants. They work hard, most of them. They save their money. They go to church. They raise their children. And they want to buy a house in advance in this society, and they do. You never hear them preaching hatred for America, except amongst the Aztlan and those. No, they're not our problem. The problem is the hundreds of thousands of immigrants that were let in under asylum claims from the Middle East. There's your problem. You don't have to look any further than Detroit and some other areas. The FBI knows that. The question is, how well do they know it, and what are they doing about it?
Many Democrats had more positive things to say about your comprehensive proposal than many Republicans did. Do you think a Democratic Congress gives you a better shot at comprehensive immigration reform?
You know, I should have brought this up. I do. I think we have a good chance. And thank you. It's an important issue, and I hope we can get something done on it. I meant to put that in my list of things that we need to get done. I would hope Republicans have recognized that we've taken very strong security measures to address one aspect of comprehensive immigration reform.
Worker provision.
Well, that's got to be an integral part of a comprehensive plan. When you're talking comprehensive immigration reform, one part of it is a guest worker program where people can come on a temporary basis to do jobs Americans are not doing.
Amnesty is in the air. That's why his dad and Clinton are such pals. It's all worked out. Giuliani now is going to save us. The squeegee man. John McCain, not enough hair. George Pataki, impossible. No one ever heard of him outside of Albany. Hillary wins. She's got more hair. I mean, if you were to Giuliani, McCain, Pataki, and Clinton, Hillary wins hands down more hair. It's all hair. That's what it comes down to. The people go for hair. If they get a long-haired male, the Republicans, he might stand a chance. Some kind of rocker, right-wing rocker could win. With tattoos, he might win, I swear, the way the world is. Carl Levin, I bet you he thinks he could be vice president one day. God, the egos on these guys, I just can't imagine being them. I can't understand what they think of themselves off camera, like at home alone in a toilet. How do they live with themselves? They're so important. They're such important people. Like when they sit down in the toilet, I mean, do they say, I'm an important person and I'm on the toilet now? How do they deal with that? When they sit down with a fork in front of a television set to eat, what do they say? I'm an important person with a fork in front of a television set and I'm eating mashed potatoes? When do they not be important persons? When do they start being people? I don't know. I think there's a certain degree of we know that there has to be a certain degree of madness to be a politician. You have to, you know, who would want to do this? Why do you want people to adulate you and know everything about everything you do every second of the day? Who would want that? I'm a recluse. Radio is perfect for me. I never liked employees. I don't like telling anyone what to do. I'd rather do it myself. I'd rather take the garbage out myself. You know why? Because I know how to put the garbage in the can better than a maid. If she put the garbage in the can, I'd go down there. She would do it wrong. I don't like the way she put it in the garbage can. She'd probably turn the bag upside down and throw the loose garbage into the can. Me, I tie the bag up and put it in the can so it doesn't rot. I'm giving an example. Most things I'd rather do myself. I'd rather do my own laundry. Why? I know how much soap to use so I don't itch. Also, if they throw a towel in too high a heat, you know how many years it took me? You know how many decades it took me to figure out why certain towels turn into like straw? You spend $100 on a towel, wash it wrong once, it's straw. You may as well be in a Ukrainian boys club in 1940. The towel is like sandpaper with one wrong drying. You got to read the label on like Egyptian cotton. It's crazy what you have to do to wash a towel right. Cold water, warm water, light water, spin dry, low. You can't give it to a maid. Everything to a maid is like industrial, like from Guatemala. They figure that everybody's like a manual laborer working in Greece. And so they wash your clothing with so much detergent, and they dry it hot. I mean, it burns the towel. That's the way you do overalls from a guy who was underneath a car all day, let's say working in a chicken processing plant. So what I'm saying, I'd rather do my own towels and my own underwear. Otherwise, I, like, ruin my skin. And that's why I'd rather analyze things for myself instead of turning to, like, Dick Morris. I'm going to listen to Dick Morris tell me what I'm supposed to think, or a guy on television. That's why you love me. You know why you love me. It's because I'm like you. That's the truth. You know what I did last night? I swear. Should I admit this? What do I care? I watched Sopranos reruns on Comcast. I love that show in a rerun. Like, I know, like, what's going to happen. The only ones I don't like watching when they kill a gay guy, I hate that. I don't like gratuitous violence. Many of you have me all upside down anyway. You got me all wrong, but that's okay. I don't really care. Savage.
There has been lots of controversy and maybe anger in the Middle East about the usage of the term Islamofascist. I wonder if Madame Karen Hughes has been involved in any discussion with the American government about the usage of this term and whether if it is serving the American interest to promote this kind of language in the Middle East or here. Or not.
The president and the secretary and I think everyone in this administration has made it clear that the United States believes that Islam is a religion of peace, that it is one of the great religions of the world, and that we have tremendous respect for its practitioners, including our own American Muslim community here.
You hear the hogwash? Why didn't they cut off the Arab journalist who said there's been a lot of controversy and anger in the Middle East over the word Islamofascist and say, excuse me, sir, can you name one Middle Eastern country that is not fascistic other than Israel? Wouldn't that have stopped the conversation instead of getting on his hands and knees and saying that Islam is a religion of peace? Well, it may be one of the religions of peace, and it could be one of the great religions of the world if it was practiced that way. There's no question about it. Unfortunately, and again, I'm not the only one to have said it. I'm not the first to have said it. It is true. It's absolutely true that not all Muslims are terrorists. But it's also true that almost every terrorist has been a Muslim. Who said that? A Muslim philosopher from the Middle East a year ago. It's quoted in my last book. So argue with him if you want. What are you getting on your hands and knees for, I would say to the State Department? What are you bending over backwards? Just say to them, most countries in the Middle East are fascistic, and they're practicing Islam. So how do you explain it, I would say to him? Well, what are you afraid of? Everyone can say anti-American things and put down gringos and put down white people and put down America. You can't say anything to these murderers and these terrorists and their front men called their journalists? Forget about it. Real men know how to tell these people and put them in their place and say, just stop the garbage. Stop trying to intimidate us. Don't browbeat me. Your country stink. That's why all of you want to flee in here. Nobody's trying to emigrate into Syria. When have you last seen anyone trying to smuggle themselves into Iran? Anyone trying to sneak over the border into Syria or Iran recently? Who do you think you're fooling there? I am so sick and tired of this anti-Americanism and the pandering government that we have, which is why I do radio every day. Multiculturalism has completely failed America. It is a disaster, an unmitigated disaster. Multiculturalism has a premise that all cultures are equal and all cultures have an equal amount to contribute to the world. That's utter hogwash. The reason my ancestors came to this country as immigrants and the reason your ancestors came to this country as immigrants is because of the great enterprise created by white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. It is the greatest country ever created in the world. It is built upon the best of the white Anglo-Saxon world, the best. The Magna Carta created in England, not Syria. The Magna Carta came out of the English people, not out of China, not out of Africa, not out of the Middle East. It came from England. And my ancestors fled here because they wanted to become American. They wanted to imitate and ape the white man while retaining some of their background. They didn't want to impose their background upon this society like so many immigrants do today, thinking that they have a right to impose their fetid societies upon us, the very stink pots that they ran from, the very cesspools that they ran from. They think are suddenly noble because they ran away from it. They glorify the hellhole they ran from. Let them go back there. Let them go back to Brazil or Argentina or Syria or Iran if they love it so much. And they put my country down day and night. That's what the show is all about. God bless America. And if you don't like it, get out. The only reason you're here is what? You like the greenbacks? You like the free welfare? Is that it? You like the benefits, but you don't like the society itself? Get out. I cut you off so fast, you'd think lightning struck your shoes.
In Iran, we don't have homosexuals like in your country. We don't have that in our country. In Iran, we do not have this phenomenon. I don't know who's told you that we have it.
The only thing that Ahmadinejad said that was booed was about homosexuals. And I take my hat off to them. How do you like that? It shows you how powerful the pink hand is in this country. I take my hat off to the pink hand. At least they had the guts to boo this little murderer. Shane in Gainesville, Florida, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I've been listening to your show for about a year now, off and on, and I don't think I've ever heard you make a point or raise an issue that you don't want to see more government involvement in. For instance, we were talking about telling government regulating what language we speak or regulating marriage or regulating trade. How is it that those positions you consider conservative positions?
Okay, well, would you rather have the ACLU regulate those issues or the duly elected representatives called government? See, right now, those issues are being regulated by an unelected body of gangster lawyers. The ACLU and like-minded organizations are regulating the fact that we are not speaking English as the official language. They're preventing it. The ACLU is preventing us from closing the border. The ACLU is preventing us from cracking down on mock marriage. I'd rather have elected representatives regulate these things than unelected people.
But these are very personal issues. Why should anyone be regulating them? I mean, getting your tongue pierced.
Personal issues? A personal issue is a national language is a personal issue?
Who I decide to marry is a personal issue.
Wait a minute. Do you want to talk about... You brought up several issues. I know where you're coming from because obviously you're pushing the homosexual agenda and you're entitled to do it. But you brought up other issues as well. So let's start with the issue of the official language of America. What is the problem with having English as the official language?
I don't see a reason for it. I don't see a need to have an official language. You let people speak what language they want to speak. And if they speak Spanish...
So you prefer a Tower of Babel?
I prefer a libertarian society. I prefer some freedom.
A libertarian society? What does that mean?
That means that people...
A Rabelaisian society of do-as-you-will will wind up like a bunch of running dogs.
You happen to like dogs, don't you?
Yeah, but I don't like running dogs in the form of human beings.
I agree with that. But again, if people make bad choices, they have to suffer the consequences. If I choose only to speak Spanish and not English, economically, I'm not going to get ahead in this country.
Why do government officials think that we have to pander to illegal aliens and speak a language that's foreign to the United States of America? Where did it evolve that we have to pander to illegal aliens who broke through our borders? When did that evolve? Don't you think it's insane to have ballots in 5 or 6 or 10 languages?
I don't know that we need to have ballots in 5 or 6 or 10 languages. What I'm talking about is making English an official language. Is that, I mean, are you saying you want people only to speak English? Or
my friend, a common language is the common glue of a nation, whether it be how Italy became a great nation, when the many languages of Italy were transformed into what we know as modern Italian, it became a great nation. Great nations are formed through a common language. Nations are disintegrated through many languages. That's just a historic fact. That's my opinion. Let's go on to the next issue, please.
Let's talk about the regulation of trade. That goes back a few months, but I know I just heard a commercial of yours that was talking about regulating outsourcing, you know, that free trade isn't really good for the country. How is that a conservative issue?
So you think that it's good to export jobs?
I think that it is good to allow the most efficient possible solution to come to the market.
Hold on. You just made an interesting statement. The most efficient solution to come to the market, that would be either child labor or slave labor. You see, this is the lie, the big lie of the big Republican, big government mentality, which is that you let the free market determine everything. Ultimately, we will have child labor again and then slave labor, because ultimately you can get people to work for 10 cents an hour if you give them no option. And then we're going to have a total meltdown of our worker benefits. So you can't believe in child labor or slave labor. I can't believe you'd want that.
No, I don't. And I would not buy anything that was made with child labor or slave labor.
Well, but you have no way to know what was made by whom. It's too complicated with the myriad of products that we have. The issue is we need some government regulation. Let's look at the highway. You're not arguing that we shouldn't have red lights, yellow lights, and green lights, are you?
No, we definitely will have rules regardless of whether there's government. But that's
so we need some regulation. The question is how much regulation and for what? So I think that the issue of outsourcing is a very important issue, and I believe the government must step in and prevent corporations from exporting jobs because they can get cheaper labor overseas. Ultimately, you're melting down the workforce of America.
Well, one point on that, though, Michael, it seems that no one realizes that there is, if I'm spending $10 less, let's say, on a T-shirt that's made overseas, that's $10 more that I have to spend on something else here to stimulate our economy. Furthermore, that's one person that is, instead of having someone that's overpaid to make a T-shirt here, that person's labor can then be used to better use in another field.
Well, but that free market thinking will ultimately lead to anarchy, as it has already. Right now in China, the Chinese are finally trying to impose some kind of workforce control, meaning benefits for the workers, less pollution, minimum wage. You know who's blocking it? American and other foreign corporations do not want Chinese workers to have even a modicum of benefits. You can't argue that that's good for the human race.
No, that doesn't surprise me at all, but that's not free trade either. When corporations get involved in government decisions, regardless of whose government, that's not free trade. That's mercantile.
They're trying to prevent the government from extending any benefits to Chinese workers because the pirates who run most corporations are focused solely on the bottom line. They have no conscience. And it's up to we, the people, through our duly elected representatives, to impose a conscience on corporate pirates.
And I think we do that best through our economic vote, not through our legislation.
Well, we disagree on that. Next case. Let's go to your next point.
Okay. How about regulating the price of gas?
Regulating the price of gas. Well, gas has just come down in price, so I don't think that it's almost a moot point.
We don't need to talk about that one.
Oh, hold on. Let's talk about that right now. In the state of California, there's a proposition on the ballot that would impose rapacious taxes on oil refineries here in California. Terrible idea. It's an idea that will destroy the refinery business in the state of California. I certainly am opposed to that. Where do you stand on that?
I mean, I'd like to see us not tax anybody, but that's, you know, I'm not sure that's a real solution. But you mean?
Well, wait a minute. You just went from one side to the other. You just said you're against any kind of government regulation, but here suddenly you sound like you're attracted to the idea of taxing oil companies. Why would that be?
No, not at all. Not at all. I don't think I understood what your point was there. That's honestly what I was trying.
All right. So let's go on to the next issue, since we're having such a wonderful time in disagreeing here.
We covered language. We covered marriage. We covered outsourcing. We covered trade. Did we cover marriage? I mean, I really don't think
we
covered marriage.
Did not get to the issue that really made you call the show, so go ahead and have your point. Go ahead and make it.
No, and I'm not advocating for gay rights. I'm advocating for equal rights for everybody. I don't think that the government forget the whole gay issue. I don't think government should be able to tell me who I can and cannot marry.
Ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. Should the government be able to say to you that you can't sleep with a dog?
I'm not talking about sleeping with. I'm talking about getting married to. Because gay.
Should the government be able to say you can't have sex with a cow?
I would hope no one would want.
There are people who would have sex with animals and do have sex with animals because the laws have been watered down and they're no longer really vice squads. So we all agree that common decency and sanity would impose restrictions on having sex with animals. I think you'd have to agree with that, wouldn't you?
Okay, but again, we're not talking about sex. We're talking about marriage because.
Wait a minute. But at least give me that point. I mean, do you agree with that or don't you?
Absolutely, I agree with that point. Sure, I definitely.
So you agree that there are human beings that were so debased that without any kind of government input or controls, they would wind up having sex with cows and horses and dogs, as many people do in Seattle. Now we come to the issue of marriage, which is intimately tied up with sex, as you well know. Why I am opposed to homosexual marriage is very simple. Marriage is already in trouble. To mock marriage by creating false marriage against all the laws of nature and all the laws of history would further debase a great institution that is the core of all societies, which is the bedrock called the family.
I agree with you completely that marriage is in trouble. I think that it's lost a lot of its sacred meaning. I think it's lost a lot of meaning in the fact that we can get $100 divorces these days. But I think what's making it lose its sacred meaning is the fact that it's not a sacred institution anymore. It's a government institution. I have to go get approval to get married to a woman that I love. I have to go apply for a license, and they can say no.
But wait, when I was young in New York City and I applied for a marriage license, do you know that I first had to take a Wasserman test for syphilis? Are you aware of that? And didn't that make good sense to make sure that two syphilitics or one syphilitic was not marrying a healthy person? Wouldn't that make sense? Isn't there some need for some kind of governmental regulation?
No, I don't think the government needs to regulate something like that.
So in other words, you're for two syphilitics getting married and producing idiots, brain-damaged idiots.
I would hope they would have the sense not to,
They don't have the sense. Don't you understand that there are people who have no sense? There are also people who are moral degenerates who have no concept of what responsibility means and that they need to be regulated and controlled by some form. And in this case, it's by our duly elected representatives. You can't argue against government control or government input over everything in society and call that conservatism or libertarianism. What you're arguing for really is social anarchy.
Well, that may very well be. I like to call it libertarianism, but my point is that
you're an intelligent person, but ultimately you're really arguing for social anarchy, not for libertarianism. I've enjoyed this very much, my friend. I hope you keep listening to the show.
Savage.
Think it was appropriate to have this megalomaniac, this killer of American Marines and troops, speaking and being given a microphone in the United States of America?
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. The president is reciting verses from the Holy Quran in Arabic.
What is the Truman Committee? It is the no-bid contracts in Iraq that the Sopranos taught us about. Over the last few years. It is the fact that we have had historic levels of secrecy surrounding contracting and the waste that we've never seen before in American history. We have spent almost $500 billion supporting the war. We understand that outlays are very necessary to support the military, but the public also demands an accounting, and we want to know that the money is being spent appropriately and wisely. We also have to know that American men and women in uniform trust the government in how the money is spent to win the peace for which they are fighting. These questions plagued even Abraham Lincoln going back to the Civil War. I don't know if you know that, but you're going to learn it again in a quick note. In other words, there's always been disproportionate expenditures in wartime. And so back in 1940, you talk about the greatest generation, as World War II was tightening its grip on Europe, Congress was preparing for U.S. involvement, and they appropriated $10 billion in 1940. What would that be today? $150 billion? What happened was a year later in 1941, stories were spreading about contractor corruption, and it reached an unknown senator by the name of Missouri's Harry S. Truman. So old Harry S. Truman, an unknown senator, heard about widespread contractor mismanagement, and he decided to go out and take a look on his own. Government said, we don't want to hear it. The contractor said, we don't want to hear it. He was opposed by military officials who were in cahoots with the contractors. The little senator from Missouri said, no, but I'm going to do it anyway. He got a $15,000 appropriation, and he spent that $15,000 on a 10,000-mile tour of military bases. And what he found was that contractors were being paid a fixed profit, no matter how inefficient their operations proved to be. Truman also found that a handful of corporations in the East Coast were receiving a disproportionate share of the contracts. So Truman was convinced that waste and corruption was strangling the nation's efforts. And so he conceived the idea for a special Senate committee to investigate the National Defense Program. And he prevailed. And there were hearings. By unanimous consent on March 1, 1941, the Senate created what proved to be one of the most productive investigative committees in its entire history. The committee held hundreds of hearings, traveled thousands of miles to conduct field inspections, and saved millions of dollars in cost overruns. And as a result, Truman erased his earlier public image as an errand boy for Kansas City politicos. He developed working experience with business, labor, agriculture, and executive branch agencies. In 1944, when Democratic Party leaders sought a replacement for controversial Vice President Henry Wallace, they settled on Harry Truman, and he became the President of the United States of America when FDR died. That's the story of Harry Truman Haberdasher. I want to talk about North Beach, California. Unlike other shows, The Savage Nation is an ongoing serial. Each day relates to the day and the days that preceded the day that I am on the air. It's one long serial, you know, like The Lone Ranger Rides Again, Boys and Girls Come Back to This Theater Tomorrow for another serial. That's what I do, because it's my life and my view of the world. It's one man's opinion is all it is. Nobody writes my script. I live it. I eat it. I breathe it. I think it. I'm an American. This is what I'm going through. But at the same time that I'm interested in politics, I'm living a life. So I inject the real life 101 into the political view, and then you have to decide whether you like me and whether you want to listen to me and whether you agree with me or disagree with me. That's all. And that's why every day that I get up, I say, you know, you got to tell it like it is, man. Don't get weak. Don't falter. So I get off the air last night and I go for a walk. I actually loved it. I had to put on a leather jacket, a scarf, and I walk through the streets. I walk past where that a Muslim driver mowed down 17 people right to the spot. And I started walking up California Street. It was like, you know, early evening. People were still rushing home, rushing out of the big, beautiful buildings. And I walk all the way up the hill, and I hit Grant Avenue. I was going to go all the way to the top, and I figured it's enough for the first day. And I turn right on Grant Avenue, which is Chinatown. Then I start looking at the stores, and I see old stores there. And you see these family businesses, 100 years, some of them. They haven't changed the sign because the grandfather owned was smart enough to own the building. He bought the dirt. He bought the bricks. And he passed it on to the next generation and the next and the next. And the kids went to Berkeley or wherever. And they're successful. They didn't blow anyone up. They didn't say, I hate America. They did it the good old American way, which is the way my people did it. And I inherited nothing, by the way. And I can't say I inherited nothing. Financially, I inherited nothing. But I inherited more than money, which was a work ethic, number one, and the most important thing I inherited from my father was a desire, not an insistence on honesty. He got insanely angry if I bullcrapped him. If I said one thing that wasn't, that he thought I was giving him the BS, he would go nuts. He turned red-faced. To him, the truth was the most important thing. Now, I miss the mark every day. Don't think I'm an angel because I'm not. I try my best, though. It's almost impossible in this world to be 100%. So anyway, I walk through the Chinatown, I'm looking at the storefronts, and I'm looking at the businesses and the knickknacks, and I stop in front of a Chinese knickknack store, and strangely enough, there was a Chinese gentleman about my age, didn't know, he had his hands behind his back, and he was leaning over looking at an outdoor display of little tiny indoor water fountains that were making all sorts of preposterous waterfalls, and this, I don't know. We just looked at them. We both knew we wouldn't buy them. And I felt it as though I was living in the 1100s in Shanghai somewhere, because I knew that sometime in the past, you know, 1,000 years ago, somebody looked at little water fountains in a store in Shanghai. And I walked on down Grant Avenue, coming across Broadway into the alleged Italian district, because it kind of, they blur right now, like a New York Canal Street used to be the dividing line into Mulberry Street, you know, across from Chinatown. Same kind of thing here. And it is largely still Italian. Now, here's the interesting part to me. I'm in one of my Moulin Rouge melancholic moods, which is basically who I am, because I think that life is melancholic. I don't think life is particularly ecstatic. And I'm not on drugs, let me tell you that right now. Legal or illegal, I don't use them. I'm in one of my moods. That's all, meaning I'm me. This is how mankind is. Man is basically that way. The construct of the positive thinking, happy male is an anomaly. It's a fiction, by the way, created by Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. But that's my opinion. I don't think mankind is fundamentally a happy animal. I think man is kind of a, you know, brooding animal, if you want to know what I think man really is. I think the rest is an invention. Anyway, dogs are happy. Mankind isn't. At least my dogs are happy because they live the life of Riley. So in the all of a sudden, in the middle of the honk, honk, beep, beep, people coming, people going, and the smell of garlic coming out of the restaurant, I hear, I said, am I going crazy? It was like an auditory hallucination. I hear da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. What am I, crazy? Am I hearing not Moulin Rouge, I'm hearing La Vie en Rose. And I said, what the heck? How could this be? How can I hear La Vie en Rose in the middle of all of this? Because the last I heard it was like my sister's playing the piano a long time ago, and my father, may he rest in peace, was singing by the piano. I never heard it since, La Vie en Rose. Da 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 da. And I said, I must be going crazy. Maybe I'm just, you know, thinking about something. I walk up the street, there's a guy with a violin. And